The reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 5, reading from verse 27 to 42. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour." "That he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed. All his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. And all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Am I on? I'm on. Well, good morning, everybody. And I've got a chance now to thank all of you on behalf of my family for making us feel very loved and welcome here in Louth. So thank you very much. We are so grateful. And here we are. This is my first sermon. No pressure. But it reminds me of a story. Oh, by the way, Mark Jackson from Park Row Baptist Church declared yesterday that my jokes are not funny. Well, we'll soon see, won't we? But it reminds me of a story of what I heard once about a preacher. He preached his message. He went to the back of a church at the end of a service, and a little boy came up to him and gave him 2p. Isn't that lovely? He said, "Oh, that's really kind. Why are you giving me 2p? He said, "My mummy said you're the poorest minister she's ever heard." See, Mark Jackson, I hope that's recorded so Mark can hear that. Right, well, it's back to school week. For all those who have children, grandchildren, this week ahead is back to school week, except, of course, if you're down in Hampshire, where my sister is a teacher. You started on Friday, didn't you? But we start this week. Our boys are off to school. How are you feeling, Evelinka? Yeah, and George is on. 6 weeks of sat playing games and watching television, and they're all off to school. Who remembers their school days? Put your hand up if you remember your school days. It's not an easy place, is it? I became a Christian when I was six, so I spent almost all my school life at school as a Christian. It's not easy being a Christian as a school child. In fact, one thing that many people when I was young in my church said, I wouldn't want to be in school now. Have you ever heard that someone say that? I wouldn't want to be at school now. And think about the teachers, Christian teachers that have to work with other teachers that perhaps are antagonistic towards Christianity. It is can be a very difficult and dark place. So if there's one thing you do from this message this week, keep children, teachers, heads, young people in your prayers as they start school. They're going to be taught things that perhaps we would be shocked by these days. So please keep them in your prayers. I faced a really difficult situation 30 years ago at school. My head of RE, Mr. Miles, was into New Age, and he invited someone in to do Buddhist chanting. I refused in front of my class, and later he came in and said, if you don't change, you will be thrown off your A-level course. That was in 1993. Imagine if you're a young person today and you have to say, I'm not taking part in that project, or I'm not going to take part in Pride, or I'm not going to take part in this or that. They have a really tough job. But as we look further afield, it's not just in school that Christians face persecution. Over the last few weeks, there's a place in Pakistan called Jaranwala. Has anyone heard of what's been going on there? It's in Pakistan. And some Christians were accused of blasphemy. And so a mob of Pakistanis came in and burnt the churches down and their houses down. They have been attacked relentlessly. They have had their Bibles burnt. Looting. Do we hear this in the media? Not at all. Or what about the church in Afghanistan, where they literally have to be secret or they'll die? Or maybe we can look to China, where China are surveilling Christian, Facebook, social media, anything, so they can arrest Christians. I was up the college in Oxford, and one of my friends, who's Asian, asked us to pray a few months ago. Hindu nationalists were going through his family's village and they burnt down their church too. And spare a thought, if you think it's something that happened somewhere else, spare a thought for Isabel Vaughan Spruce, who was arrested in the UK for praying in her head. She was a charity worker, and she was standing quietly on a pavement in Birmingham when she was approached by the police and asked, are you praying? And got taken down to the station. That was last year. Jesus says in John 15, 18 and 19, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. In our message today, in our scripture, the early church faced persecution too. So just a quick background. Everyone who's talked, we've been going through the book of Acts, and everyone gives you a background of Acts. So, of course, Luke, or Dr. Luke, as I like to call him, was writing to a man called Theophilus. Does anyone, you all know what Theophilus means? Oh, okay. It means loved by God. And so in Luke's gospel, he addresses Theophilus who's as the most excellent, which suggests that maybe he have either Roman connections or he is high up in authority. So that is what Theophilus, who he was and what his name means. So Luke's first book was about Jesus and his ministry, and his second book, the book of Acts of the Apostles, covers the history of the early church. The time span of Acts is 30 years. Now, this was addressed last week. Many Christians look at Acts and they say, oh, I wish the church was like the church of Acts. It was 30 years. Now, put your hand up in the last 30 years if you've experienced a miracle, answered prayer, or seen God do something absolutely amazing. So if we put a book together and I took all of your, and I'm guessing there's about 60 people here, we'd have the book of Acts. People take Acts and think it all happened in 1 year. Wow, 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 wow. It happened over the course of 30 years. So I think sometimes we jump to conclusions as Christians. We read Acts and think it all happened at once. God is always working, whether it's 2,000 years ago or today. I believe that God can do miracles today. I believe he answers prayer. I believe he's here in Louth, and I believe he wants to use us, his church. The passage and the context. So, before we got to chapter 5, some weeks ago, we looked at Acts 4, where Peter and John were arrested, and they were brought before the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Pretty much like today's media. You mustn't mention Jesus. And after threats, they were released. Then they continued to minister, healing people. So what happens when God works through his children? The answer is persecution. Billy Graham once said, I went to one of his, I was going to say concert, he doesn't sing, but one of his things. Billy Graham was preaching, and then there was all these things going wrong. And he said, it's always interesting, whenever I get to the point of talking about the gospel, things start to go wrong. As a church, we start this new beginning together. Expect a rocky road. It's not going to be all smooth. If we're doing what God wants, we will face opposition, and we have to be ready for that. We will face persecution to some kind of degree. So the apostles were brought back before the Sanhedrin again. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. And he also didn't want to be found guilty of killing Jesus. They were afraid of the people. It says that in verse 26, they were afraid of the people. They did not use force in bringing the apostles before them because they feared the people would stone them. What a difference in approaches. They were people pleasers. Yes, they had authority, but they were people pleasers. The apostles, on the other hand, says, we must obey God rather than human beings. They were not people pleasers. When we live for God, yes, many people will be touched and grateful to God, but as Christians, we need to be God pleasers, not people pleasers. That's the difference between the Sanhedrin and the apostles. The Sanhedrin, people pleasers, earthly thinking. The apostles, pleasing God, godly thinking. But what was it in this passage that infuriated them to the point that they wanted to kill the apostles? This is really interesting because what infuriated them the most was the gospel. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Have a look at this. Acts 5:33. And they were saying, they were infuriated, they wanted to kill the apostles. Well, the first is verse 30. It says, God raised Jesus from the dead. The apostles declared the resurrection. Jesus is alive. This person that was crucified on the cross is alive. Is Jesus alive today?
Yes.
Absolutely. He's not some ideology. He's not, oh, he's a historical person. He is alive. And so we have a message. Jesus is alive, verse 30. And also in verse 30, then we come to the second part of the message. The Sanhedrin had him crucified. The sin and guilt of people. They were guilty of crucifying Jesus. But do you know what Romans 3:23 says? All of us are guilty for having Christ on that cross. Everybody has sinned and everybody falls short of the glory of God. So the disciples talked about Jesus being alive. They talked to Sanhedrin about our sin and guilt. Verse 31. This is incredible. Jesus was exalted and sat on the right-hand side of God, Prince and Saviour, Ruler. That's authority overall. It's not just that some bloke rose from the dead. It's not just actually he can take away some sin. No, he is the Prince. And one day all the knees of everybody will bow and declare that Jesus is Lord. The disciples had no fear. They said to the Sanhedrin, this Jesus who you killed is alive, and what's more, he sat at the right hand of God. He has authority, and he is a saviour. What is it he saves us from? From our sin. This was blasphemy, because they're saying Jesus is God, because only God can forgive sins. Ephesians 1, 20 to 22, there's one part in it that says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. The authority of Jesus Christ. And then the second part of verse 31, saving Israel from their sins and bringing repentance. It means, we had this yesterday, the word repentance. It means going the opposite direction. Jesus saves. Jesus changes. And that's why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. No one can get to the Father except through me. It's very sad that there are some people within churches that believe, you can follow any religion, any ideology. It all goes to the same place. No, it doesn't. There's only one person that can take your sin away, and that is Jesus Christ. Nobody else can take your sin away. And some people treat religions like clubs. Oh, so which religion do you belong to? Oh, which one do you like? It's like a badge. What badge are you wearing? Oh, which club do you belong to? It's not a club. It's the truth that all of us fall short of God's standard. All of us, even the nicest person in the history of humankind, will fall short of the glory of God. And what makes Jesus the way, the truth, and the life? It's not because Christianity is like, oh, we're the best religion ever. It's the fact that he has the answer. He has the medicine. He has the thing that takes the sin away. And when he takes it away, we can stand before God. We can get to heaven. We can have that confidence in Christ. That's your testimony. If you're a Christian today, that's your testimony. The world is lost. There are people that we love and we don't have conversations with because we don't want to upset or rock the boat. This is about God pleasing, people pleasing. I don't want to upset them. Well, I want to be a God pleaser. And God tells me to tell people that they're lost. We need to be God pleasers, not people pleasers, because we have a message that is worth more than gold. So why persecution? 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul writes, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." So, I'd love to say that it's all smooth and wonderful, but if you're a Christian here today and you want to live a godly life, there'll be persecution. So if you're going through a hard time at the moment, the probability is you might be doing something right. When you're doing God's work, you face opposition like gas leaks. Like people being delayed in traffic. Ephesians 6 points us to one reason why we face persecution. And that is, we are battling against spiritual forces, not flesh and blood. It's easy to throw darts at your worst enemy, whether it's your old boss or a relative or whatever. You're not battling against them. You're battling against spiritual forces of evil. That is part and parcel of persecution. We are in a battle, a spiritual battle. So much persecution is happening around the world, committed by evil ideologies, repressive beliefs in keeping everyone under control, whereas Jesus sets people free. Second reason why there is persecution is people will react to light shining in the dark world. Have you noticed that sometimes when children are doing something wrong, they're in the corners, aren't they? They don't, "Oh, I'm doing something wrong, everyone, you know, please come and stop me." But when the light is shining, it's like, "No, I'm not doing anything. It's his fault." Two of my sons love to blame each other. It's his fault. One reason why we get persecuted is because when we are light in the dark, we then expose what's going on in the dark, and some people don't like that. Basically, your faith challenges. 2 Corinthians 2, 15-17 says it like this: "We are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death; to the other, an aroma of life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God." Our message to some will be life, to others, it will be offensive. Romans 1:16 tells us to not be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. There are two reasons that we face persecution. There's a third one I just want to say as well, and that's a personal battle. How many of you find it easy following Christ personally? We may have issues. We may be addicted to things. We may struggle to put money in the collection. We may struggle to forgive. It's our cross to bear. Being a Christian is not easy. Following Jesus is not a big, smooth, open road, but a narrow one. Luke 9:23 says that. Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." So you will be tempted in your own personal walk to take the easy path. Skip your Bible readings, hang on to your idols, fit God into your plans instead of fitting your plans into God's. Many people treat Christianity and church like it's either a social club or it's a lifestyle. You know, "Oh, I go to church to part of my lifestyle." No, Christianity shouldn't be lifestyle. It should be your life. It should be your life. I think my time is up. But I want to leave you with this final verse. Final verse. John 16:33. Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. So, Lord God, we will face persecution. We will find it difficult. But we want to be God-pleasers. We want to please you. Lord, we don't want this just to be just once every week. We want to give our lives to you, not just one day a week, but every single day of the week. Lord, we do pray, and this is a big, big, big challenge for us. I pray for opportunities, and I pray that you'll give us that courage when the opportunities arrive to share our story, to share our hope that's in you. Lord, through your Spirit, use us, speak through us your message of life, for you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can get to the Father except through you. Amen.